Bob's birthday, we are going to interview several members that have been members of the club for many years. It is through their efforts and dedication that we have become the club that we are today. And I know that we're all proud to be members. Mrs. Finn, Ella, could you tell us, please, the year that you joined, and start with perhaps telling us the kind of a club that you had at that time?
Well, I joined in 1911, the year I came here as a bride. And the study club was very much as it is today. It was a study club. They tried sometimes to deviate a little, but they didn't deviate much.
Did you meet once a month as we do today?
No, we met twice a month, and we had long, full programs. And then came the war, and we changed to once a month. And met at 2 o'clock so that the mothers of the children could get home before the children came from school.
So that meant your meetings rather lasted perhaps about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything else that you could add to this in particular? Interesting events. Some of the people. Could you tell us some of the people who were members at that time?
I can't remember altogether, but I can tell you a little bit about the change. We had to when we changed to once a month, another reason, not for that, but we had to raise the dues. Our dues were $2 to begin with, and then the state dues and all the others got so high that we had to double our dues. And so we went on that way, and then we cut down on the expense of the programs by, I think it was Vera Galligan who made the monogram that's on many of the programs, and they were, and a mimeograph them. And we've done that ever since. We've got along just as well.
I was just looking at the programs while I was waiting for a dessert to come, and later I'm sure that you will all like to look at them. They're very, really very elaborate.
They are, some of them.
I thought they were printed rather than the mimeographed.
The first ones were printed. Mm-hmm. For a good number of years they were printed, and they were great big programs. You can see them when you
of anything that I might have missed in asking you right now?
No, nothing particular. There was one thing that happened that I think would be of interest maybe to everybody. One program that we had, Mrs. F.A. Wood gave a report of her book's Good Earth. And she stood up in front of the club with a great big gold watch of her husband's in her hand like this. And at that time, the program was to be but an hour long. And when she got to her hour, she said, "My time is up. Now would you like me to continue or should I stop?" And of course, everybody was breathless over how the book was going to come out. And I told her, "Listen to it." Then I asked her one time how she ever memorized all that. And she said, first she reviewed it. She wrote it all out. She reviewed it again, scaling it down to an hour. And then she made notes and memorized it. Just that simple. Well, she did.
Marvelous. We've had some beautiful book reports, too. I can remember them myself. Mrs. Preep, Merle, would you please tell us something of the, first of all, the year that you joined, and what the club was like at the time that you first became a member?
Mrs. Finn has told us a good many. Mrs. Finn has told quite a few of the things that I was about to mention, but I made notes on a few of the things they asked me to remember. And I joined the Monday Study Club in 1923. As a bride of 1 year, 2 years before, our daughter Jean Mrs. Bruce Lundholm was married, or was born. As I recall, membership in the 20s and 30s was about 30 plus, and from the 40s on went up to about 40 plus. Is that your recollection?
Yes.
That's fine. And the club met at 2:30, as you said, at 2:30 p.m., the first Monday of the month, from what I recall. And we had 9 Monday meetings a year then, but I didn't remember that. That was probably before my date. The opening meetings often had a luncheon or a potluck in one of the homes. We also met at the Masonic Temple, the Great Grace Lutheran Church, the Burton Hotel in Mankato, and the Waseca Hotel for lunch. We took trips to the Old Log Theater, Rochester, and other places, dining along the way. Teas and meetings were held in the public library at Waseca. In October 1954, we held our 50th anniversary tea for members and guests at Vera Ward's. We had some guest night dinners at which, at these, we entertained our husbands and had a speaker and a social hour afterwards. In the early days, we did not have as many coffee hours as today, but we had a guest day and served a tea. I was asked to mention a few of the early homes where we were entertained. Some of you new members, I expect, have never heard of some of these people, but the older members will recall them as active members. Mrs. Charles Luthol and Mrs. Ward, R.P. Ward, Paul Stuckey, William DeBoer, E.J. Graven, Orlando Deidre, L.R. Bullard, D.A. Galligan, and her mother, Mrs. J.F. Murphy, Miss Connie Everett, and Adeline Wolf, as well as many of the present members who have been active and entertained for so many years. Then I was also asked to recall a few names of the other names of past members. And they, some of them would include the above mentioned, plus Mrs. H.U. Cooper, W.W. Savage, D.J. Cummings, G.H. Goodspeed, B.G. Pickett, Bernard Hess, Byron Less, and O.J. Swenson, and Ruth Dyke, and Adeline McMartin. And again, so many of the present members who have been active are the associate members and have been active for so many years and still are. I might say I've always enjoyed the meetings and found them very educational. They have consisted of information and history, such as the history of the American Bible Society, past wars, current events of the day, attitudes of Russia towards the United States, cancer research, race problems, all in the 1940s, all of which are a continuing program today. Music, art, plays, travel, films, and slides, plus many book reviews, were also noteworthy and interesting. Varied phases of the all-over picture of different countries were studied. Some of these countries were India, Red Russia, Germany, France, China, Russia, and South America and Africa. Also, there were topics on men of achievement and famous women and their accomplishments, as well as many other interesting subjects. In the early days, we were asked to wear hats and gloves to most of the meetings, or we did. Of course, the apparel of all was much more formal than the casual clothes worn today. I recall we had several dress-up parties, which were fun, too. I've derived a great deal of knowledge and pleasure and enjoyment from the places we went and making new acquaintances, plus the continuing contacts with study club members during the years. I hope it is done and will continue to do the same for all the rest of your members. Now, I might mention that I did not keep any of the programs in the first 20 years I belonged. But since 1940, I had some programs. And if Monday Study Club would ever like to have them, they're welcome.
thank you very much. That's been very informative. If you noticed, we have a copy of almost every year, I think. There's Mrs. Gonzalez, I think there's one missing. Is there in there? I thought we had them all, though. Mrs. Ward, I broke the sequence a minute. I should have spoken to you perhaps first, because you were the next one to join the club after Sin. Could you tell us about your experience as you joined the club?
I told you at the last meeting that I barely arrived at Mosica, and I was told by my beloved mother-in-law I must join the Holy Study Club, and I thought I was married in October 1990. And this is my going away. This is part of my going away costume, so I may have worn this hat.
It's and beautiful.
I made my application, and perhaps it helped me. I don't know.
It's just beautiful.
Well, anyway, but apparently, we didn't arrive in Waseca until November, and Christmas came along. So apparently, it was 1920. And just a glance at this 1920 program, and by word, I had a paper, and it was on the foreign policy of the United States, and I'd love to see it now. I think it'd be it. I don't think it was worth saving, I guess, but really, we worked here, Lisa, it is like mad. I mean, it was a study club, and it's a lovely club now, but I don't think you ever would call it a study club. But, and then it was difficult to get. You see, we had no library for many years. The town fathers didn't believe in reading books. And now they don't believe in saving trees or water. Well, anyway, the way up, and I remember when I came in the house where we lived in, but now there was a great wooden box in the hall, and there was full of books that had come from the state library, and they let us keep those books all year, you see, too. And usually, we were on one subject that we followed through, for instance, it would be in country, it would be topography, it would be important cities, it would be their religions, their culture, and we really went, we read everything inside, and of course now, you couldn't, they tell you to hire a hall, nobody would come, but at that, of course, we didn't have radio, we didn't have television, so did, and I think that they meant, I'm sure it meant much to me, but I had lots of fun doing this research kind of thing. I don't know that anybody else got anything out of it, but I did, and then, of course, there was this delightful companionship, and I still, because the women I remember the most vividly probably were my neighbors that I would see in the improvement. You can see them other places, but this generation, which is older, one generation older than I was, I just thought were the great women, and I still just think that I never met up with a finer group. Any place, it was a great privilege, whether I was still young enough to have this reverence for an older generation, but I just thought that I arrived in the most beautiful setting. I mean, as far as family and friends and everybody being so lovely, and they'd say, why don't you miss being in the city? Don't you miss that? Just look at them blankly, and I I think there wasn't a thing in the world I was missing, because there were steady things at hand, and we could always do them. And I don't know if it's reminiscing is fun, and it's kind of sad.
Yes,
but,
I know.
I would just, I'll just say one more thing and stop. But kind of interested me in a magazine that came into the house two or three days ago. That was, an article on how, in sheer satire, how we should commemorate the bicentennial year. And they thought the best thing we could do would be to build monuments. So we know the only monuments we have here are worn out cannon and some cannonball, something of the kind. And every European country, you tumble over monuments. And anyway, one of the monuments was nostalgia. And now everything of yesterday is beautiful present tense. Maybe we all kind of feel that all this is beautiful. And and the monument, because we know that not everything was beautiful, but we remember the beautiful thing. And that anyway, the monument to nostalgia should be stored in the attic, the closet, or on the band's movie theater, which I thought was lovely. But anyway, my memories are very, very pleasant.
Thank you. I think that I had a feeling that I could feel the atmosphere of the club at that time through what you have said. And I know what you mean when you say that it was such a rich experience to know these people and to work with them. I've had much the same feeling in the last few years that I've been here. It's a very rewarding, good feeling. Thank you. Mrs. Wesley Rethwell has been with in the club since the year 1927. And she has a special distinction. She was the first district president for the... Were you the first district president?
No, just the first district president from Waseca.
And she, I'm sure, has some special experiences to tell us about. Mrs. Rethwell.
But I do want to emphasize what Vera said, in that we were a study club, and when you were assigned a topic, you were expected to study it, to outline it, to diagram it, and then be able to illustrate, if you had a map or whatever you had, you were supposed to illustrate that with maps. And I'm sure that the one that gave the paper was always the one that got the most out of it. At least she knew what it was all about, even if some of the others didn't. Yes, I too was here just a year when I came here as a bride in 1926. So it was 1927 that it was either Mrs. Sim or Mrs. Percy Ward who asked me to become a member of the study club, and I said I would. Mrs. Ward always had a very direct influence on me, because it was later on that she came to me when we were hosting a district meeting of the clubs here in Waseca, and asked me if I would allow my name to be presented for an office in the district. I said, after some hesitation, yes, because at that time all of the offices had advanced, the officers advanced. And I had no idea at all, until she came to me, that I had been elected president. Having had no experience whatsoever, I was plunged into the district presidency. As the other girls have mentioned so much about the meetings here in Waseca, I'm going to talk more about my years as district president. At that time, the district president served 3 years. I was president then from 39 to 40, 40, 41, 41, 42. And during that time, I'm just going to briefly give you some of the events. I put out a newsletter, which there is a sample on the mantle, for that year, for those years, I should say, and the Waseca Journal printed them. And they printed them for me for 100 at a time at between, as close as I can figure out from the amount that I have in my book, between $8.50 and $10 and a half for printing those pamphlets. And these were sent to all the clubs in the district. It was during 1940 and 41 that I was very happy to bring into the Federation five clubs. The one was the Fotosinian Club of Harmony, the Women's Community Club of Elgin, the Panel Club of Spring Grove, the Mother's Study Club of Janesville, of which Mrs. Clifford Wadd was president, and Mrs. P.L. Arnold was secretary. And then we was most happy to have the Child Study Club of Waseca become federated with it, and Mrs. Marvin Johnson was our president, and Mrs. George Hackett was the secretary. It was during this year, and through their added support, and from the work that the Monday Study Club had been doing, and with the added gift of $100 that we got from the National Federation, that we were able, after much, much work, to convince our school board to add a kindergarten class to our school. We had three district meetings during that time. One was at Owatonna, and one was at Austin, and one was at Rochester. And I brought a picture of the meeting of the officers at that time in Rochester, and I wanted you to notice the hats. And these were very memorable meetings for me, and I had a wonderful group of women to work with. But the Rochester meeting, after the years of experience that I had had during this time, I think we had the most outstanding meeting. We had three past state presidents present, and the present state president, and a past district president. And at the noon luncheon, Mayor Grassley of Rochester welcomed us. But the speaker of the day was none other than the judge of District Court of Minneapolis, Luther Youngdahl, who later became our governor and then later distinguished himself in Washington, D.C. It was also during this last year that I was elected corresponding secretary of our state federation. I now look back to the Monday Study Club and find that it has held a most enjoyable, enriching, important, but challenging place in my life. And now I realize that I've stretched my age to the breaking point and will have to admit of being a senior citizen. Now that I have to keep everything in the same place so I know where to find it, make notes to myself of every plan and appointment, hate like everything going out on an evening when below zero, and have to decide wait until morning to decide whether I have zip enough to go on for the events of the day, I'll have to admit I'm not what I used to be.
Thank you, Mrs. Rethel. That was most interesting. Mrs. Marvin Johnson, Mildred, you joined the club in 1931. Would you tell us, were there any changes? Do you know from what has been said previously now, would you say that things were any different at that time?
I don't think they had changed much by the time I joined, and from what some of the others have said. We had the same type of strictly a study club until in the 40s and 50s we did bring in a few guest speakers. And one that stands out in my memory was George Grimm. Many of you remember George. Of course, he's still alive, so I shouldn't say as though he were gone. But George came down. We had guest nights. We entertained our husbands. For a few years, we had one meeting a year where we did have the husbands included, and we usually had a guest speaker. One of these meetings was Virginia Sanford. We put on a luncheon for Virginia, And she was one who loved food. And before she left, she wanted all the recipes for everything that we had served. I have a couple incidents in my years in the club that I would like to recall with a little embarrassment. I joined the same year that I was married, and Mrs. Parsons, many of you will remember Marge Parsons, who was an English teacher in the schools there, and her mother lived with her. And Mrs. Parsons was an ardent clubwoman, and I had hardly come back from my honeymoon when she decided I should be a member of the club. So I joined the first fall. And in one of the early years, I gave a paper on the Negro problem in the South. And being young and very confident of myself, I thought I knew all about it. Until I finished, when Mrs. Spaulding said to me, "You don't know what you're talking about." And I realized then how cocky I had been in solving the problem of the Negro in the South. I had another embarrassing situation that always used to bother me very much to get up and speak before the club. And I thank the club that over the years I have recovered from that. But this particular day I was extremely nervous. I was to give a book report on Burl Ives. And I had brought records to play and so on of his. And I was extremely nervous. I had everything outlined. Of course, we didn't read things in those days. We just had an outline and used that. And after I was all through, I thought I had done a remarkable job. And Betty Swenson came over to me and she said, "You know, you skipped about two or three chapters of that book, the very important part of the book." So you can see why it's so seldom I'm called on to give me papers for the club. Well, seriously, I have had a wonderful experience and have enjoyed almost 45 years in the study club and made many wonderful friends. I think maybe that should be about enough.
Well, we certainly have enjoyed your anecdotes. Really, I know that we did have very serious studies at that time, didn't we? And I think even this is carried on until, well, we still have very serious studies, but it's done in a different way, too. Excuse me. And now I'd like to ask, Mrs. Spaulding has something to tell us.
Yes.
Do come.
Mrs. Apicola Miller. No, Miller, I'm going to tell her. I came to a meeting in the first year. Mildred had been elected president. And was it here at the Masonic Temple? Seems to me it was here. They were sitting right over there. But anyway, all happened unbeknownst to me. She announced very casually, "I am sorry that I will not be able to be president. I resign." Just like that. I was the vice president. I had nothing to say. I didn't know what to say. But I took it and did the best I could. It was during, then the next year, I appointed a nominating committee. Mrs. Galligan was the president, chairman, I should say. And she came in. I knew not at all who the people were they were putting on nominating. She came in and she announced, "I think I found my president for it." She said, "You never were elected president. No one had ever voted on you. And so now we nominate you as president for next year." And I didn't say anything. I took it because I didn't know what to say. Mildred was sitting there and I looked at her. And I took that president. That was a year that we entertained the Federation of Women's Clubs, and we put Mrs. Beth William as president. And I
have a discussion of what had happened. And then when she had the paper, she really put work on it. And I remember in particular one on Cyrus McCormick and his invention of the reaper, and compared it to the cotton gin and what it did to revolutionize farming. And that, I remember, was very fascinating. And then, too, Mother attended all of the state federation meetings. That was her one big vacation of the year. And, of course, probably the reason she was sent to, she had a pass, you see, so that she could go places. And she always came home and always told about all the nice ladies that were at the, and I think that's true of all the federation ladies there. And just a class by themselves, aren't they? And then another time I remember her 40th birthday, and it was in October, and the study club met at our house, and she was presented with 40 roses. This reminded me when I saw these roses today. And gee, I just thank you so much for being here. I've just enjoyed it so much. Reminiscing.
Thank you, Mrs. Rosemeyer. We have been listening to Mrs. Ruth Rosemeyer speak. She is the daughter of Mrs. L.A. Bullard, who was one of the original members of the study club. This was taped on February 2nd, 1976, and this tape is to be given to the Waseca Historical Society. We hope that the future members of the Monday Study Club will play this tape on many happy birthdays. And now we have some roses to present to you people. Because the tape was stopped as Mrs. Spaulding was speaking, I've asked Mrs. Spaulding to speak again into this as in a postscript. Mrs. Spaulding, would you tell us again what it was that you were saying before? And we can't remember exactly what that was, but you were talking about the dedication of some of the women, I think.
Yes, I was very happy to be asked to be a member of the Monday Study Club because I admired the women very much. They were a very dedicated group of women, very interested in further study and improving themselves, interested in the what was happening in the world and keeping up on current events. And also, they were very fond of art and music and culture, and I felt that I profited a great deal by being associated with them.
I must say that that's been my experience with the group, too, since I joined, which was not really a very recent time compared to what you're speaking of, but it's that profiting of fellowship and knowledge that we shared that has been so great, really. You mentioned another thing. You were talking about the convention that was held here in Waseca. You mentioned the place where it was held and the way in which the women controlled the convention.
One thing that was notable among the women was that whatever they were asked to do, they did willingly and gladly. And when we entertained the District Federation, which was held in the Methodist Church, now the Historical Society building, we had to have help on all the committees and in the dinners and lunches and so forth from the members of the study club, and they did it willingly. Now, back in those days, we did not have motels. Delegates came for 2 days, and they also had to be entertained in the homes of the members, which we thoroughly enjoyed, but it kept the women very, very busy.
I'm sure it did.
I'm sure.
Judge Sen was the speaker at our banquet. He is the husband of Ella Sen. And we believed in using local talent as much as you possibly could, and he gave us a very fine speech at our banquet.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Spalding. This has been informative. Can we think of anything else that we should be telling these on this?
This recording was made on the 70th anniversary of the Waseca Monday Study Club. The meeting was held at the Masonic Temple, and we celebrated with a luncheon served by the Eastern Star. Mrs. Rethwell was chairman of the luncheon. Chicken Kiev was the entree. The dessert was keyed to the 1976 bicentennial theme. A special cake was decorated in red, white, and blue.
We are especially pleased to have these very early members of the club present and to hear about the earlier days firsthand. We had Mrs. Jardall of Albert Lee, the first district president of the Minnesota Federation, and Mrs. Emmons, a past state president of the Minnesota Federation, as our guests today. Mrs. Herb Streitz, president, presided at the meeting. This recorded program was conducted by Mrs. Kenneth Miller.